Welcome to the Money and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Nelson. My mission to empower millennial couples to make money moves that won't just improve your financial health, but strengthen your marriage as well. In this podcast, I share stories, tips, and tricks, both from my experience as a certified financial planner and from my own marriage, to help you and your spouse kick financial anxiety to the curb and use your money to create the lives you love together. Let's get started. For many couples out there, it's brutally difficult to learn how to talk to your spouse about money without fighting. And frankly, it's easy to see why. You know, back when I was researching my book a few years ago, I came across this study that was conducted in London by a university there a few years back. That it's probably 5 or 6 years old at this point. But, you know, they surveyed 15,000 men and women, a big sample size. And what they found in that study is that people are 7 times more likely to tell a stranger details about their sex life than they are to tell a stranger their salary, which is mind-blowing to me, right? You know, in a lot of ways, money really is the last remaining taboo in our society. And when we look at the statistics on money and marriage, frankly, it shows, right? I've talked about the statistics on the show plenty before. For now, I'll just highlight one point, right? According to a study by TD Bank a few years ago, 40% of millennial couples argue about money at least once a week, right? Money fights are common, they're prevalent, and they're pervasive in our culture today. And it really stems, I think, from that money is just a really hard subject to talk about in general. And at the same time, you know, we know that we need to talk about money in marriage, right? We know that communication is one of the keys to a strong marriage, or at least I hope we do, right? If you haven't heard that communication is one of the keys to a strong marriage, I can't really help you right there. And you know, I find that a lot of the guidance out there that I see from other sources about how to talk to your spouse about money without fighting, it just leaves a lot to be desired, right? I find that a lot of the things I see people like advice other people in the financial world and even in the therapy world giving couples, right, about this, usually it tends to be kind of platitudes that don't tell you much, like, you know, you should try to compromise, like, no, shocker, no kidding, right? You need to adopt a team mindset when you talk about money, right? Not particularly useful. And be transparent, right? No kidding. Of course, you want to be transparent when you talk about money. So today we're going to go a little deeper and discuss some specific tips on how to set your financial conversations up for success. We'll talk about some specific communication patterns to focus on, either things you want to do or things you don't want to do, and then how to just structure the conversations in general to decrease money fights. But really, the first step in all this, I think, is to set the stage for success from the beginning. Back when I was in college, I took a public speaking class. As you might imagine, in a public speaking class, one of the things we had to do was public speak from time to time. You know, get up in front of the class and give a couple minute talk on whatever topics. And the way that the professor had us do these talks varied from time to time, right? Sometimes she'd give us the topic in advance so we could do research and prepare our talking points and come with bullet points, right? So that we could kind of talk through it with the class in detail. And other times she'd ask us to give an impromptu talk on the class on whatever topic was on her mind for that day. Some random subject. And, you know, so sometimes we were able to prepare for these talks and sometimes we weren't. Would you care to guess, not even just for me, but for everybody else in the class, like what talks tended to go better? The ones where we were able to prepare in advance or the ones where we weren't, right? Preparation is good, obviously. And I think money conversations in your marriage work the same way, right? If you're struggling to figure out how to talk to your spouse about money without starting fights, you know, doing a little bit of prep work and kind of planning your approach in advance can go a long way to making the conversation much smoother. And so to start off with, let's talk through a few specific tips, right, on how to set the stage, how to prepare for your conversations to give you the best possible chance of having a productive conversation with an outcome that you're looking for. And the first piece of advice I have for you here is to be proactive with it, right? Nobody likes talking about money, except for perhaps me, right? I'm the oddball here. I'm the financial planner who has a podcast about money, right? But most people don't, right? Most people don't enjoy talking about a subject like money. And since it is a tough subject to talk about, right? I think a lot of us tend to put off dealing with financial conversations, particularly tough ones, until you reach a tipping point, right? Until things get so bad that you just have to address them, right? The pain of not talking about it is higher than the pain of just sitting down and biting the bullet and talking about it. And once you're past that tipping point, right, frankly, it's just much harder to have conversations, because you, by definition, when you're at that point, you're in a pretty negative state. And so the first piece of advice is to be proactive, right? Don't save your financial conversations for times of crisis. Get out in front of them, right? So that you're regularly checking in with each other on your finances. Once you get into a rhythm with this, it gets a little bit easier. I typically suggest having money conversations about once a month, and I give you the step-by-step process that I usually recommend couples follow in my book, Marriage Centered Money. You can get a copy of that at marriagecenteredmoney.com if that's of interest to you. But the idea is that by anticipating issues in advance and starting these conversations before you reach the tipping point, right, it just is much easier to keep the tone of these conversations positive. So that's the first thing. Second piece is choosing the right time to talk about money with your spouse. If you were to ask me or tell me anything after about 9 or 9:30 at night, the odds of me actually retaining that information, right, the next day are very, very low, right? I do a lot of evening meetings and stuff like that. Like, by the time I get to the end of the day, like, my brain is just done. And so if you try to have a serious conversation with me at 9:30 p.m., it is likely to go absolutely nowhere very quickly. And if it does, I'm frankly just very inclined to not remember it the next day. So something I might normally be very up to talk for, to talk about during the day, like, it is just a non-starter for me, like, when we get to the end of the day. And I know I'm not weird in that sense, but frankly, the same is true probably for your partner as well, right? And it's especially true with a topic like money, right? There are better times and there are worse times to have these conversations. And if it's possible, getting out in front of it and starting the conversation by saying, like, hey, I know this is now it's not a very good time right now, but could we find some time in the next few days to sit down and talk about money, right? By picking out the right time and making sure that the time works for both of you, you're setting yourself up for success in that way. I truly do find that, you know, not springing these conversations on your partner out of the blue is a really good way to make sure that the conversation goes pretty well as well, right? Putting some time on the calendar, stuff like that, so that you can start the discussion at a time that works for you. And then the final piece of advice I have in terms of setting the stage for the conversation is just to identify what your desired outcome for the conversation is in the first place. Like, what are you looking to accomplish in this talk? Right, begin with the end in mind, so to speak. Right, you know, I think one of the best ways to learn how to talk to your spouse about money without fighting is just to go into the conversation with a clear goal in mind in the first place, right? And something specific, something relatively targeted, right? Not just like, we're going to improve our finances, right? Like, get clear on what exactly it is you are looking to accomplish in that. Right? What are you hoping to achieve? Are you looking to cover a lot of ground or review one specific issue in detail? By answering these questions in advance, I think you can tailor the conversation to focus on the most important things that you need to in order to get that outcome. And of course, you want to talk about the outcome with your partner. Make sure they're in agreement with it, and you know, can work with them to refine it as necessary. And the best part in my mind about kind of setting the goal of the conversation up front is that it helps you can anticipate some guardrails that you might need to put in place to avoid going down rabbit holes that can cause fights and things like that, right? By getting really clear on what you're looking to accomplish in advance, I think you're setting yourself up for success in that regard. So that is how we think about setting the stage for these conversations, right? Then the next piece is, like, how do we talk about it, right? What are the communication patterns, right? When we actually sit down and have these conversations, what should we be doing to make sure that they're productive? And the first one is not a new topic for longtime listeners of this podcast, we actually covered this in detail way back in episode 12, which is still one of the most popular episodes we've ever put out. And that is the first thing you want to think through when you think about communication patterns is to beware the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? And this is not a biblical thing. The four horsemen of the apocalypse in our context is the name of a specific relationship framework developed by marriage expert Dr. John Gottman. He's somebody who spent decades studying marriages, and in his research, he found that he could predict whether a marriage would end successfully or end in a divorce 90% of the time by observing one of these four horsemen in their marriage, right? Whenever the four horsemen popped up, right, that was a huge warning sign that a marriage was in trouble. And so when we talk about money, we want to pay attention to those, or really when we talk about anything, we want to pay attention to those. The four horsemen are, I'm just going to give you the quick list. And again, we go into a detail on this in episode 12, if this is of interest to you. Give you the quick list, then we'll give you kind of just the explanation of them. The four horsemen are criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. Right. Criticism, the first one, is attacking your partner's personality or character rather than the problem that you were trying to solve, right? You're criticizing, I'm using the word and the definition, right? You are attacking them rather than the problem at hand. And that is often met by the second four horsemen, which is defensiveness. When you are criticized, you tend to get defensive, right? Deflecting blame, avoiding responsibility for the problem is how I'd summarize defensiveness. The most damaging and the most like dangerous of the four horsemen is contempt, right? Contempt goes a couple steps beyond criticism, right? You're not just attacking them, although that's part of it, but you are placing yourself in a position of moral superiority in the process, right? To treat your partner with contempt is to treat them with disrespect, meanness, either through like the words you're using or your body language, right? Eye rolls, things like that. And like I said, contempt is the one in particular that tends to cause the most problems when it exists. And the fourth is stonewalling, right? Much like defensiveness is the response to criticism, stonewalling is often the response to contempt, right? When you stonewall your partner, you're withdrawing from the conversation, and you just stop engaging as a defense mechanism, right? All four of these, criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling are damaging for your marriage. And again, they're not strictly financial in nature either, right? Whenever they come up with whatever you're talking about, that should be a warning sign that you want to pay attention and work on the way that you're communicating with your spouse. And so the first tip I have, right, in terms of how to communicate with your spouse about money is to watch out for those four, right? If you find yourself drifting into four horsemen territory, that's a sign to pump the brakes, pause, and work on that first and foremost. And then from there, we can dig into whatever financial issues you're looking to work on. So that, frankly, whenever I talk about communication, about money with couples and how to talk about money without fighting, starting with the four horsemen to me is the most important piece. And of course, like there's lots of other good communication tips out there as well. I mentioned at the top of the episode that, you know, I find a lot of the content available, right, for how to talk about money with your spouse without fighting doesn't go as deep as I would like it to. But that doesn't mean that the advice that's out there is bad either, right? I'm recording a whole episode going into a lot more detail about a lot of other things. But that doesn't mean that the kind of commonly given relationship advice about how to communicate with your spouse is bad either. So just to quickly run through a few of them that I think are especially helpful to remember when you're trying to communicate about money. Use I statements, right? I think, I feel, etc. Whenever you're communicating about a sensitive topic or one that you have a tendency to fight about, trying to start your statements with phrases that begin with I think, I feel, or something like that can really help the tone of the conversation, right? By doing that, you're able to make your point based on expressing your perspective, what you think, rather than focusing on your partner's perceived or actual shortcomings. Starting conversations that way, it just tends to decrease confrontation in the discussion by framing the talk in the right tone. This isn't high school English class where if you are writing a paper and you start a sentence with the words I feel and then or I think, and then whatever you're trying to argue, the English teacher crosses it out because it's redundant because you're writing a paper. And so by definition, it's what you think, right? That's not helpful in this context, right? Those words are not redundant. They actually can really, really be helpful for you to frame the topic the right way. So don't be afraid to say, I think, I feel, etc., because that can actually really help you frame the issues the right way. So that's the first piece. And then finally, active listening, right? When your spouse is speaking, you want to make sure you really hear what they're saying, right? Fully concentrate on them, right? When they're articulating their position, and not even just listening, but make sure your body language shows that you're listening as well, right? Make your spouse feel heard by actually hearing them. When in doubt, right? Paraphrasing back, you know, what I think you just said was X, Y, Z, like, does that sound right? Or was that what you meant? Right? Adding things like that can go a long way to help you have these tough conversations with your spouse. Above all, I think that approaching these conversations from a perspective of understanding your spouse first and foremost is really, really good. You know, I think understanding something in more detail, whatever it is, before you try to find a resolution is never a bad idea, right? Whenever you're facing a problem, trying to understand more about it is always a good idea before you find a solution. And understanding your spouse's perspective about something like money that you are managing at least in part together is a good plan for you to have, right? So focus these conversations, right, and the way you're communicating on first trying to understand their perspective first and foremost, because I think that doing that will help you lay the groundwork for a successful conversation about money. And then from there, the question is like, what do we talk about, right? How do we actually structure the conversation so that you're setting yourself up to talk about money without fighting with your spouse? Biggest tip I have for you here is when in doubt, start with the future. Like, look ahead. Where do you want your lives, like, what do you want your lives to look like 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now? And I find that can be really helpful because, I mean, frankly, when I talk to couples, usually I find that their answers to those questions, like, what do we want to be doing 50 years from now? Like, usually the future-based conversations, couples usually agree on. Maybe not down to every exact detail, right? Because we're different people. Of course, we're going to have some differences of opinion. But, you know, frankly, I find that most couples tend to want the same things out of their lives. They want their lives to look a certain way. Like, part of the reason why their answers are mostly the same, like, is part of the reason why they ended up together and getting married in the first place. We've talked about this on the show before as well. But I find that starting with that forward-looking lens can really be helpful because it gets you on the same page to begin with. And then from there, it's okay, great. Like, what financial decisions do we need to be making in order to make that a reality, right? How much money do we need to save, or how should we be allocating our money to accomplish these things? Like, putting dollar amounts on what is enough versus what is too much, both in terms of saving and spending, I think can be done a lot easier through that perspective of, like, where do we want your money to be taking you down the road? The metaphor I like to use, I've used it on the show before and in a handful of episodes, is imagine you're driving a car, right? The easiest way to make sure you don't get yourself in trouble driving a car is by looking ahead, looking at the road ahead while you're driving. That doesn't mean that using the rearview mirror is a bad thing, right? The rearview mirror exists in a car for a reason. That doesn't mean that you should be looking at the dashboard periodically, right? The dashboard inside the car exists for a reason, but you shouldn't be trying to drive the car only looking through the rearview mirror or only looking at the dashboard. And likewise, you know, when you're talking about money with your spouse, you should be looking primarily at the road ahead, but, right, not being afraid to look backwards at what's happened in the past or look at your current state inside the car, so to speak, periodically as well. But I think the more you can kind of pull yourself forward to what that future vision looks like, I think the easier these conversations tend to go. So, I mean, like, when in doubt, start with the future, looking at the road ahead, and then from there, figuring out what we need to do with your money accordingly. You know, when you sit down to have the conversation with your spouse, you know, agreeing on what the scope is ahead of time. We talked earlier about, you know, preparing and like having a clear outcome, but before you sit down with your spouse. But when you actually do, like, just you want to sit down and have that conversation with them, right? What are you looking to get out of this meeting, so to speak, right? Or this conversation, and identify something clear. Right? You know, you can certainly start with the thing that you've identified before you approach your spouse with this, but you want their input and agree on that as well. Because again, I think if you agree on the scope of these things at the beginning, it can help you put the right boundaries that you need in place for the conversation so that things don't go off the rails. And it can just lead to a much better outcome if both people know and agree on what the scope of the conversation is in the first place, particularly for a fairly complex and fairly difficult topic like money to talk about. You want to set some ground rules, right? I mean, frankly, I wouldn't go too crazy with this. The biggest one that I encourage couples to have is always to approach financial conversations with the attitude of no shame, no blame, right? We all have made mistakes with money in the past. We all often have felt guilty or anxious or stressed about the state of our finances. I think the degree to which you can adapt a culture in your family of not having shame or blame around these things, particularly if you are, like, regardless of what's happened in the past, you are working toward that future vision, right? You're on the same page about where we want your money to take you. Whatever we can do to lower the temperature, so to speak, on the shame and blame in these conversations is really, really, really important, right? Particularly with a subject where we're bringing a lot of prior money stuff into the conversation today. No shame, no blame, right? The degree to which you and your spouse can kind of just like ingrain that in the way you talk about it. And don't be afraid to just acknowledge, like, hey, like, you know, like, it's okay if we're feeling stressed about this, right? That's okay. It doesn't mean we need to be for forever, right? It's okay that we've made some mistakes in the past or we're not quite where we want to be. What can we do to make things better going forward? And I think it's easier said than done. But the couples who I've seen be able to do that tend to have a lot of success with it. So you want to think through that here. When in doubt, or when you are having when you're having a hard time just getting these conversations started in the first place, I really, really recommend you start small. Right? When in doubt, right? Don't try to sit down and fix your entire family's financial situation right from the get-go, right? Pick something small, pick some sort of quick win to get started on first, right? Maybe it's, you know, I want to talk about our credit scores and understanding where we're at from a credit score perspective. I want to understand like where all our money is, right? How much money do we have as a family, or making sure that we have some transparency around that. I want to talk about, you know, how can we just get started saving a little bit more than we have before, right? How can we come up with an extra $100 or an extra $1,000 this month that we didn't have before, right? Just to get the process started, right? When in doubt, start small. We've talked in this podcast before about how sometimes like slowing down or like narrowing the scope of what you're focusing on can actually make you make better progress, because by setting smaller goals, you tend to be a little bit less overwhelmed. You have something very clear and pretty attainable to focus on. So it actually motivates you to go ahead and do it. The same thing applies here, right? If you find yourself wanting to butt heads about money with your spouse whenever you talk about it, start small, right? Reduce the scope of what we're looking to talk about at first, so that once you get a couple wins under your belt, right, it can be a little bit easier to have those tougher, bigger follow-up conversations. When in doubt, go small, get some sort of micro win under your belt first. And frankly, sometimes that's even just talking about money in the first place, right? Having a conversation about money where you don't fight, I would consider to be actually a pretty big micro win. No irony intended there. Two more tips left. First and foremost, right? Don't be afraid to pause if you need to, right? Just because you're sitting down and starting to talk about money and you're following you've laid out the goal of the conversation, right? If you get to the point where you're feeling tired, if you get to the point where you're starting to feel yourselves like escalate a little bit in terms of tone, don't be afraid to take a pause, right? Use the pause button like it's a remote control for something. Hit pause, step away, take a few minutes, regroup, and then come back. Right? That can go a long way to helping de-escalate some of these tough conversations. Right? When in doubt, don't be afraid to use the pause button. We don't want to use the stop button because you want to come back to these. Like you don't just want to avoid tough conversations, but particularly like if you feel like you're bumping up against some of these guardrails you've identified that you want to avoid, don't be afraid to pause temporarily to regroup and revisit it 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days later, you know, whatever makes sense. So you want to make sure you keep moving forward, but use the pause button as needed because it can be really helpful to make sure that things don't completely fall apart. And then finally, you want to have a process to follow, right? We've talked about this on the podcast before. I go into a ton of detail about the process that I typically recommend that couples follow to have good money conversations and what you should be focusing on and all these things in my book. Would encourage you to pick up a copy of that at marriagecenteredmoney.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. I won't walk you through the whole process now because this episode's getting a little bit long to begin with. But I encourage you to have some sort of process that you're following that's proven that will like give you the best possible chance of having a productive conversation about money with your spouse without fighting, right? Having that process can really be helpful. And again, I encourage you to get to grab a copy of the book or reach out to me if you would like some help, right? Having someone facilitate that conversation. Anyway, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will see you again 2 weeks from today with the next episode of the Money and Marriage Podcast. Thanks. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Money and Marriage Podcast. If you want to learn more, you can access my favorite money exercise for free if you head to paysetterplanning.com/moneyandmarriage. Again, that's paysetterplanning.com/moneyandmarriage. Get your access today, and I'll see you next time.